So there are many seasons going on. One season is that it is spring season now. Vasanta Rutu, the spring. And another season is that the season for Gaur Purnima. Ittanan Tarudeshi is over. Now everybody is getting geared up for Gaur Purnima. And third season is of the eye camp in Barsana. Eye camp season starts. So Vasanta Rutu is a very beautiful thing in Vrindavan. Kavi Karanapur, the son of Shivananda Sen, he has written a very big poetical book. Anybody knows the name of the book? Anand Vrindavan Champu. It's only poetry actually. Even the translation is a poetry only. Very difficult to understand and grasp. But he has beautifully described the season of spring in Vrindavan. There is something called as Sharadiya Rasa Yatra. In the autumn or the Sharad Ritu, there is a Ras Leela. First, Krishna did Ras Leela in Sharad Ritu at the Bansi Vat, sitting on the branch of the banyan tree at the banks of Jamuna. He played his flute on fifth note and called all the gopis in the middle of the night and they surrendered their lives to him. And then he danced with them and he encapsulated one night of Brahma in one night of earth. And he danced with them for the duration of one night of Brahma. Anyone knows what is the duration of Brahma's night? You have paper and pen? You can write down right now. 43,20,000 is not the end, is the beginning of the calculation. It's a beginning statement. 43,20,000 years is equal to the duration of four yugas. And that duration of four yugas is 12 hours of Brahma. So that much is the 12 hours of night of Brahma. So that many years Sri Krishna actually danced. But he made it in such a way that no one can understand, that when that night ended, everybody felt that the day ended and the day is beginning now, night is ending. That night of that Vrindavan Dham, earthly calculation. But when the spring season came, again Sri Krishna became very enlivened and performed Ras Leela at the place called Chandra Sarovar. Of course, Chandra Sarovar was not there that time. He performed Ras Leela in a place called Parama Rasasthali or Petha Gaon. That is there in Govardhan Long Parikrama. And there he danced with gopis. And what happened was, the gopis, they danced so beautifully with him. All the demigods in the skies came. And they wanted to accompany Sri Krishna or assist him in the musical instruments. So they, you know, the demigods are all, some demigod loka is only equipments, like all the instruments they are expert in playing. Some loka only dancing, they are expert in dancing. And some lokas are expert in singing. And like various, you know, yaksha, kinnara, kimpurusha, gandharva. Gandharvas are very good in singing. The rest all are musical instruments, dancing, and they just, you cannot imagine. It's like a monkey is a gold medalist athlete right from birth. Like that, right from birth, they are ultimate into these arts. By birth they don't have to learn anything. We have to learn everything. They don't have to learn anything. As soon as you take birth in that particular loka, you are by birth you are expert in this thing. And then there are some people who are 5-star in that, who are much more specialized in that. Like there are many apsaras, but still Urvashi, Menka, Brahma are the special ones. Like that, in that loka also there are. So all of them gathered in the sky and they wanted to give taal and sur and dance as per the melody of the Ras Leela going down on the earth. But nobody could from beginning to end match that taal, that beat or that sur. But they kept attempting and attempting and attempting, and they always kept failing and failing and failing. Then Indra came down and Indra started playing a big drum, which is still there today also, called Bajani Shila. He made a stone into a drum and started playing. and he still could not match the melody of the whole thing. In the process, what happened when they were dancing down, Krishna and gopis, they poured divine water from their body. What we in our understanding call sweat. It's not sweat actually, it's called Sved. Sved is a divine fragrant water which comes out of the body of divine personalities like Sri Krishna and gopis and Radharani. And that got collected into a pond. And when it was getting collected, the moon god became so enamored that he had stored some Amrut from some Amrut Manthan times. Some of it he also had stored officially. So he put some drops in that. He wanted that to never end, so he wanted it maybe to become Amrut. So he dropped some Amrut drops in that. And then the dance continued and continued. It becomes so ecstatic that Chandra couldn't control himself. He just melted in the pond himself. He became one with the pond. That is why the name Chandra Sarovar. Chandra Sarovar is the spring season Ras Lila. It's called as Vasanti Ras. So that took place in the spring season. And also, I forgot to mention to you the season. This is the season of Holi. From the day of Vasanta Panchami, that is called as Mag Shuddha Panchami. That is the place, time when Holi begins in Brajbhumi. And it continues for how many days? Any idea? 40 days. From Vasanta Panchami to Falgun Purnima. So this month there is 10 days and next month full 30 days. That is the month that has already started now. So 40 days of Holi, every single day they play. Every single day in Brajbhumi if you go, they play Holi. We only play one day, that is on the Falgun Purnima day. They have also something called as Rangili Holi. Rangili Holi is on Navami day, on Falgun Shuddha Navami. That's called Rangili Holi. The famous Holi of the whole world is actually Rangili Holi. And what we call as Holi in Bombay is actually Dhuli Vandan or Dhulaiti. That is celebrated on 15th day of the Falgun month, Purnima. So every day you go in the temple in the evening, 4 o'clock, when the Lord is woken up, Uthapan in the afternoon, then they do Aarti and immediately they throw colors on the Lord. All colors, and everybody just starts playing Holi the whole day. All temples are colored from Vasant Panchami. Already there are 10-15 days already over, by the way. Huh? It began on 24th. And now today we are on which? 4th? 4th February. So Holi season also is going on. And the camp season is Barsana. I was just wondering when I was talking to the students just now. So many boys and so many girls are going to Barsana. And any of you are going with them? Only one. How about others? When is your plan to take them to Barsana? It's my cherished dream to have all of you in Barsana camp. That is a very beautiful experience. Not only of Barsana, but to serve the Brijvasis, the most wonderful people on earth. Most beautiful people, not physically, spiritually. Physically, they are not looking beautiful at all. Most of them are not good looking. Most of them are bad looking, actually. They are disfigured and most of them are uneducated. Most of them. Most of them are very, very poor financially. Most of them are not born in very high families like Brahmins or priests. Why is that? It's a Sriji's place. They have taken birth over there. It is said that they will take birth there only after millions of lifetimes of serving Sri Krishna in other places and millions of lifetimes of serving his devotees in other places. Then one qualifies and Radharani will say, okay, now you will take birth in my place. But as soon as you take birth in her place, by default, you will not be beautiful. By default, you will not be educated, maybe. Definitely poor and not famous at all. What is the reason behind it? In fact, we take birth in Radharani's place. She is most beautiful. Her beloved is most beautiful, most wealthy, most educated, all the source of knowledge. Why is like that? Any idea? Because Kunti Devi said in Srimad Bhagavatam, जन्म ऐश्वर्य श्रुति श्रीभीर, दिस फोर थिंग्स मेक पीपल प्राउड वेन दे आर ऑन अर्थ. वेन दे आर विथ कृष्णा नॉट नेसेसरी दे विल बिकम प्राउड, दे डू बिकम प्राउड बट वेरी लेस चांसेस ऑफ वन बिकमिंग प्राउड. बट ऑन अर्थ वॉट आर यू एंड मी प्राउड ऑफ, माई एजुकेशन, माई ब्यूटी और माई हैंडसमनेस, or my something special, you know, I sing well or I speak well or I dance well or whatever I do well, I'm very good in stitching or some arts like that. And money, most people who are not worthy of anything in life, they are still proud because they have a lot of wealth. Wealth is number one that makes us proud, you know. What to speak of wealth, even a beggar is proud of his penny. What to speak of a lot of wealth, even a beggar when he begs and gets some money also is proud of that money. He's also proud of the area where he breaks, you know. The beggar at Dadar Bridge is more proud than Borivali Bridge. He feels, I am a South Bombay beggar. You are a North Bombay beggar. And they also, you know, very interesting thing, when they get their daughters married, they give dowry of that bridge to their son-in-law. So now onward, this bridge is yours. I will move from here, I'll go to Churchgate and you please beg here. And next daughter, I'll give Churchgate. It's a fact. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not joking. This is what happens. So we are proud of our money, proud of our beauty, if at all we are beautiful, so-called beautiful. Education, definitely. Those who have got 10 degrees, they have got long, long curly hair and very ugly features, but they are very proud of their education, of degrees and, you know, their influence. And then people are proud of their power, that somebody is minister, somebody is something, director or some chief minister, whatever. So out of mercy and love, Radharani doesn't want to make them proud at all. Because pride is one thing that takes us away from the Lord. That's only the one thing which separates us from the Lord, which has kept us separated from the Lord, is because of pride. And it could be of anything. If you become proud thinking I'm a great devotee, even that separates you from the Lord. Please understand. If you think I'm a great speaker, I'm a great XYZ in devotion, I'm a great temple worshipper, I'm a great deity worship person, I'm a great orator, I'm a great learned in scriptures, I know scripture in and out, I know philosophy. Even in devotional service, you become proud of anything, immediately you get disconnected from the Lord. What to speak of non-devotional things. Even when gopis were dancing with Krishna and he expanded with everybody, he was with everybody, everybody felt in absorption that he is only with me. And Krishna didn't like it, immediately disconnected. Everybody lost him at once. This happened several times, not one time. So what to speak of you and me? Gopis were on topmost level, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipped them as topmost devotees of Krishna. When they had a tinge, not full pride, little bit started appearing as a bird form, even then Krishna left them. So pride Krishna hates, doesn't like pride. So Radharani, those whom she loves very much, she keeps them in this condition so that there's nothing to be proud of, you know. If you don't have money, you don't have beauty, you don't have education, don't have good lineage of family, then what are you proud of? You are just humble enough. And humility is the one thing against pride, the one thing that attracts Radha and Krishna's attention. You may have unlimited bad qualities in you, most unpleasant ones may be there in you. But if you are genuinely humble in front of devotees of the Lord and in front of the Lord Himself, then your humility will cleanse you of all those so-called bad qualities and purify you and make you dear to the Lord. In fact, it will attract Lord's attention to you if you are humble, truly humble. And it's very difficult also to become truly humble. So such are the people who stay there. And I can tell you so many stories of those people, how a genuine Brijvasi, who is a genuine resident of the holy place, what are his qualities? He is very generous hearted. He is never miserly. He may be poorest of all poor people in that village, and you go and ask them, please, I am hungry, give me something. Immediately they roll rotis and give it to you. Immediately they will give you chas, they will make you sit down, please sit down, and they will share their rotis. Whatever they have, they don't have sabji, they don't have vegetables, they will share achar with you. They'll give chaas to you. And you can go on eating and they'll keep on giving you. To such an extent that one lady I met one time, she was rushing to with her child to school. And she had a tiffin for her child in her hand. And the tiffin had some rotis. And one of her eye surgeons was going to some other place and they came across, they knew each other. So she said, come to my house and take rotis. She said, I'm a little busy, I'm going somewhere else. So she said, take this tiffin only. I don't know any mother who can do that. So she said, this is your first for your child who's going to school, it's a tiffin. He said, or ban jayegi, I'll make and drop it in the school before the recess starts. But you will not meet me again. Please take this. So she sacrificed that tiffin of her child to that eye surgeon doctor. And this story I have heard only once, but I must have repeated hundreds of times, because something which we can never do in our life with our full efforts and full dramatic performance, we cannot do this. But these are the people like that. There are many ladies in Barsana and around. There is a place called Unchagaon, and Unchagaon is 4 kilometers from Barsana on the ground level, and then Barsana is a mountain that you have to climb. That is separate distance. On the ground it is 4 kilometers. And Barsana is 0 degrees in some winter, in the peak winter, and 50 plus in summer only. And this is how the whole temperature goes throughout the year. Most of the year it is hot, and only 3-4 months it is cold, and then when it gets cold it becomes zero. It's called Chilla, the highest cold. There's fog whole day and you can't see anything around, and it's only chill and chill and chill. In that season there are many ladies I know personally who came for Rupanjali's marriage also. They walk every day from Unchagaon by foot, barefoot, climb the mountain and are there before the Mangalarti starts, 10 minutes before they are there. Then they attend the Mangalarti. Then they sit there and sing for about 45 minutes. All beautiful, beautiful songs they sing, glorifying Radha and Krishna and their pastimes and begging mercy and thanking and begging mercy. And then they will again, they will get the Charanamrita, and everybody whom they meet on the road, they'll keep giving Charanamrita till they reach Unchagaon. And during the camp time, they will get the Charanamrut and they'll straight come to the camp and give everybody in the camp. Because they know that everybody cannot go to Mangalarti. So they will not be deprived of the Charanamrut. So they will bring, she'll bring some Mahaprasad also and Charanamrut also and distribute to every camp participant who is working in the camp that time. Then she will go home. In fact, they will go home to Unchagaon and then they will roll rotis. Maybe 40-50 rotis. Take one dabba. Put a dabba full of makhan, which they will churn in the morning. And together, roti on the head and makhan dabba on the hand, they will walk again from Unchagaon to the campsite and distribute makhan and roti to every camp participant, every single day, selflessly. Will not take any money, not take anything against that. We cannot imagine such kind of selfless service, you know. And why is that doing? They think that many years back, her grandfather was operated by us. Many years back, her mother was operated by us. Whoever, there are many ladies like that. In their family, sometime in the past, somebody was operated by us, which we don't even remember, but they will never forget. The kind of gratitude that they have is unbelievable. I cannot describe you in words. That what is the meaning of gratitude? You should see them. How they remember years after years after years, that doctor who operated her mother or father or whoever, to that doctor every year without fail she will keep going rotis, keep giving some sweets, keep giving something, 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 every year. And if he has not come that year, she will keep asking, why though, one aaye kya, he didn't come, why he didn't come, like that. They will never forget. So once you please them, whole life your account of mercy is full from their side. So there are many, many such people I know who are so grateful, so grateful. In 92, when I was in Vrindavan, there was a Goswami called Bhajanlal Goswami of Radha Vallabh Temple. And I never knew him. I just had a clinic there, and whoever like that would come, I'll treat them free of charge, and they become my friends in the course of time. But his Bhajan Lal Goswami, I never knew. He was like an elderly person, and his next generation I knew very well. They would come to me, and some of them were Goswamis but lawyers. They would come to me to treatment. I would be very friendly. One of them was a childhood friend of Radhanath Swami. And Radhanath Swami was a young boy. That Goswami also was a young boy, and they were friends. That's how also I knew them. So one fine day, Bhajan Lal Goswami became unconscious because of bleeding in the brain. Because of hypertension. They have a family hypertension history. So he became unconscious. So they called me. So I went. And then he was deeply unconscious, very deeply comatose. So we needed to do CT scan. And then in those days, in Vrindavan, there was no CT scan. We had to go to Agra. So then I put him on the IV medications, and I traveled with them, monitoring the IV line and nutrition and glucose and proteins, whatever we were supposed to give, medications, whatever. With that, I was all time with them, and something like 36 hours I was with them. Because it, like, we stayed over, and then finally in the whole process of searching everything, we didn't get any CT scan. Some CT scan was there, it was dysfunctional, so it didn't function. So finally, after roaming around for 36 hours in Agra, I, as a doctor, came to conclusion that he will not survive anymore. So I took a decision that he should not die in Agra, he should come back to Vrindavan, and if at all, he has to come back to die in Vrindavan. So we drove back, and by the time I came back, it was in the late night. And everybody in the ladies in the house were waiting, and they were praying, chanting the mantras, whatever they chant for their guru. And then I went back, and I got fresh, and again I got a call, and I went running, and I served them. And then in the middle of the kirtan, chanting of the holy name, their mantras, Radha Vallabhji Sampradaya, aartis, pujas, he left his body, receiving Jamuna Jal and everything. Now, I would have done that for anybody who is Brijvasi, not for that family as such. I mean, anybody would have been there, I would have done that. But till date, now 22 years have passed. They are so grateful. Whole family, the new wives, you know, the new young boys, maybe children that time, now became young, got married, their wives, everybody, they have in generation told what this man has done. So whenever I go, they treat me like a VIP, you know. And it is said that when they are in Garbhagriha, they never talk to anybody. They are just simply serving the Lord. They are inside the Lord, with the Lord. But when I call up, even if they are in Garbhagriha, they pick up my call. And they say, "Arey Vishwarup ji, abhi Radha Vallabhi ke saamne khade hain. Bolo, kya maange unse aapke liye?" Like that they will do. And I told Radhanath Maharaj, he said, ki they will never do that to anybody. Another thing what they don't do is that their ladies will never come out of their house. I mean, suppose I go or somebody else goes, the ladies will never come out to meet them. Only men will come meet them, and some men only will serve you, and they will always be in parda. Their ladies also will go to temple in a full procession, covered by so many men, and they will be full in parda, and they will go privately in a secluded area on first floor, and from their parda they will see the Lord and take darshan, and again similarly with ceremony they will go back. Their ladies will be never seen by anybody. But when Radhanath Swami goes to their house, all the ladies come and sit in front of him. They want to talk to him, they want to laugh with him, they want to joke with him, they want to listen to him, his instructions or nice things that he speaks. So much gratitude is there, so much love is there, you know. So this gratitude is something extraordinary and unusual in Brijvasis. And devotion to the Lord, one cannot imagine. There is one Daku, there was one Daku. Now, it's very difficult story to understand, but I would like to make you understand this story, whatever capacity I have got. The Daku was so bad, or khunkhar, you know what you call that, very so merciless and so cruel, and he would just kill people right, left and center, and he would do anything for money. He was also brave, alone he would kill many people together. So many things he did. So government of UP became really, really fried with this man, and they decided to shoot at sight. Kidhar bhi dikhega, for no reason, just you see him, shoot him, that's all. So much he had murdered people and plundered them. So he was not still coming in the capture of anybody. There were prizes and there were, in those days, lakhs of rupees on him. If you tell whereabouts of him, not that you can catch him, but you can tell the whereabouts, the police will go and catch him. But he was not to be found. One day people saw, you know, and then police came and there was a real, real fight, gunshot fight. And finally, the inspectors got him wounded. What he must have done? He was a Brijbasi. With the wound of the bullet in the chest. Not one, you know. I mean, nobody shoots one bullet in Gunda's body. They always will chalni kar dete pura. They shoot so many that there is no chance of survival. In the head they will shoot, in the chest they will shoot, in the back they will shoot, everywhere they will shoot. So that there should not be any medical chance of survival. We want him dead. That means we want him dead. There may be 50, 60 bullets. So some of the bullets were in the chest. He was bleeding. This guy came running to Banke Bihari temple, to darshan of Banke Bihari, prayed to him and died there in front of Banke Bihari. So Radhanath Maharaj told that this is Brijbasi. Externally, whatever he is, that Radharani and Krishna will settle down with him, whatever the account is. But internally, whatever they do, their heart is filled with devotion. I know so many Brijbasis who are like very corrupt and very untrustworthy and very cheating and so many things they do. But it's like, you know, if you squeeze an orange, what comes out of it? Orange juice comes out of it. So if they are squeezed, finally what comes out is devotion to God. That is their inner core. Outer core may be with politics and corruption and so many things are there which are unwanted. But inner core is that. Without that they can't take birth in Vrindavan Dham. That is the glory of Brijvasis. Another time I went to take medical round in the camp, which we generally do in the night to see the patients are comfortable, you know. Post-operatively they don't have any complaints or anything is there which others can't handle, we can handle like that. We go. And it was dark in the night and all cots were slayed and patients were sleeping nicely. There were all razais on them and everything was covered till head and you couldn't see any patient, only razais were seen. But patients were there inside that. And generally when you have pain after operation, either you cry or you sigh, you know, either you, the way you say, oh, like that. So we were hearing like that, Radhe, Radhe, like that. So we thought that they are having pain in the eye, or they are having headache maybe, they are being uncomfortable, maybe they are uncomfortable, that's why they are calling out like that. So I told the doctor, let's go and see who is calling, then we can see what problem is there. So we went and slowly removed the razai. To many people we went, not one person, many patients we went, and all of them were fast asleep. And with mouth they were chanting Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. What is our condition? In the full daylight, in the full bright sunlight, when we sit for chanting, we sleep. And Brijbasis in the middle of the night, in dead of the night, fast asleep, they chant Hare Krishna. Chant Radhe, Radhe. This is I have myself seen. This is not a story in the poetry I have read. It's not like that. It's my personal witness. Like that, dear. Have you seen anybody, of course you are not medical people, so you are not hospital oriented people, but generally suppose so many of your relatives must have gone to hospital, na? And they must have also got operated in for many things. What is the general condition of anybody who is about to get operated? According to you, what is it? Huh? Nervous, no sleep previous night, tomorrow morning operation. Kya hoga? Many of them crying, many of them making everybody cry because they are crying. You know, mama, so jao abhi, aap kuch nahi, achha hoga, doctor bhi achha hai, hospital bhi achha hai, sab achha hai. Phir bhi usko neend nahi aa rahi, baaki ko bhi neend nahi aa rahi. This is a unusual situation. And just before the operation theater, it was so tense. Then our spiritual care people will go and, you know, console them, don't worry, we are praying for you, I am standing here. You go, I will still stand here and pray for you. When you come out also, I will be there only. Before you come out of anesthesia, still I will be there only. Don't worry. Everything is all right. No. Still they are anxious. And in Barsana also, so many people don't have blood pressure. Suddenly in the previous evening of the operation, everybody becomes hypertensive. So you have to give them pills and so many things. But in Barsana, of course some people do get Barsana, that hypertension also. But most of the ladies, they start performing dance before operation. We have so many videos. Operation theater is just next to you. You are in a sterile area. You cross the other area. You come to the area where you are sterile. You have worn a gown. You have also been purified clinically, whatever, medically, in the form of chemicals. You have put everything, all slippers of the OT. You are fully in the area where you are in green ground, and everybody around you also in green ground, green gown. And inside the anesthesia room, they are dancing, singing songs and dancing of Holi and everything, and fully, like, you know, beautiful dance that you perform. And where else we see in the world, when the foreigners come to volunteer in the camp, they are amazed how this can happen. And technically everything is right, they are fully sterile, they are not contaminating the place, but they are just dancing, making everybody so feel so happy. And dancing only, they go in theater, they get operated and come out. Anytime you tell them to sing a song, they are ready to sing a song. You tell me, who can sing a song, tell me. Tell me, which person, according to you, sings a song? He may not be a singer or something, but what state of mind one needs to be in when one should sing a song? Tell me. You have to be happy. Nobody can sing a song when he's unhappy. Even if Lata Mangeshkar, if she is unhappy, she can't sing a song. She has to be happy. You may be having a great art in you of vocal cords, trained for 40 years. If you're sad, you cannot sing a song. You have to be happy only. And these people can sing a song anytime in life, anytime. And plus, Holika Sidhar Aya Tokya, everybody is just dancing constantly, you know. Singing and dancing, one can do only one when he's happy. And I have seen these people are genuinely grateful, genuinely happy, and genuinely simple. When you're unhappy, when you don't have what you deserve, what you desire, suppose you desire something, you don't have it, you're unhappy. It's a root cause of happiness. Na sochati na kangshati. That means either you are unhappy because you have lost something which you had, or you don't have something which you want. There's only two reasons why you're unhappy in life. And Krishna says, my devotee is Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na sochati na kangshati. Brahma Bhuta means he's fully self-realized. And because of that, he's being self-realized, Prasannatma is always happy. And he is na sochati, he neither hankers, neither laments for what he has lost, neither hankers for what he doesn't have. Samas sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhakti labhataparam. He is equal to everybody, and he is the one who receives devotion to me. Mad bhakti labhate param. We can see this shloka live in these Brijvasis. And they are old people, fully wrinkled, you know, fully wrinkled, matlab, there are so many wrinkles, you cannot imagine. So many cannot walk, so many cannot stand. But when dancing is concerned, you immediately stand and do something. So, even to know what is happiness, you have to meet people who are happy. And then you study their life, why they are happy. Why I am not happy. I have so much more money than them. I have much more education than them. I am born in good families than them. I am educated, I am moneyed, I am more beautiful and more neat and clean than them. I got a lot of clothes to wear than them. They don't seem to have anything what I have. They are so happy. Except happiness, I have everything. Except happiness, they don't have anything. That is the Brijvasi. Because within their heart reside Radha and Krishna. And it's filled with devotion for them. That's why their life is so, so sublime. And that is why it's a privilege to serve them. We are always told, don't think, हमें बोलते हैं ना, अरे poor thing यार, so poor they are, you know, don't have any money. So we take pity on them and we do the camp. He said, please do not go there if you have this kind of mood. Dare you go with this mood that, oh, poor thing, you know, I should go and, I am a doctor, I have so much skill, so much money, and I know I don't mind giving up, taking some leaves, and I will go there and serve them, and poor thing, they will get vision from my expertise. So I have a upper feeling that I am something which I have to offer them, and I actually offer them, and they are something which they don't have, and I have, and I give them what my best things in life, and I oblige them. This is the worst mentality you can go in there. We have to feel that they don't need, we need to serve them for our purification. When we operate their cataract, our cataract of illusion is being operated by the Lord. What cataract we have of illusion that I am so and so, I am so great, so much pride we have. The cataract of the pride is being operated when we operate their so-called physical cataract. And thus we learn that they don't need anything. We need to serve them. It's just an external arrangement of Radharani that they are put in that situation so that you can serve them. And thus, by the service to them, you can please the Supreme Lord, Radha and Krishna. That is what we are taught. And if we go in that mode only, then we get spiritual benefit. Otherwise, only numbers will come out. 800, 778, 789, like that. We are very happy. This year we crossed the last year's limit also. And this year the budget was more than last year. And we gave blanket also. And we gave slippers also. We gave socks also. So many things to be proud of, you know. But if we ever get proud of those things, what we did, then we lost the battle. We have come back empty from there. We have to learn the gratefulness, the humility, the pridelessness, simplicity, the devotion, the happiness, the bliss. A state of, you know, not expecting anything in life. Imagine. They don't expect anything. They don't pray to Radharani, Hare paisa do, kya hai yahan par, kuch hai nahi, kuch de do. They never pray like that. They simply love Radha and Krishna and they simply pray to Radha and Krishna. And be happy. They don't even complain ki light hi nahi hai. Kitna din se light nahi aa rahi. Itna garmi hai. Na pankha chal raha hai, na AC chal raha hai. AC to hai nahi. Na gaadi hai, na kuch hai. Sab log dhoop mein tadap rahe hain. Chhas pipe ke baith rahe hain. Din mein aadhi roti khate hain pura din. But they don't leave Braj. In spite of that also. They're so attached to that place. And that is why Sri Krishna and Radharani keep all the holy places externally, environmentally, at extreme situations. You go to any holy place, you go to Jerusalem, you go to Makkah Madina also, you come to know that things are very extreme over there. You know, very hot, very cold, or very stormy, or very this, you know, it's like very unstable, unpredictable, unstable, unbearable. All the holy places, you can call Jagannath Puri, call Ayodhya, call Dwarka, call South Indian, anything you go, wherever you go, different kind of extremes are there. You go to Badrinath, is like freezing cold. You go to South India, constantly hot. If you go to Vrindavan, hot and cold, both extremes. You go to Dwarka, burning hot. You go to Makkah Madina, 62, 65 temperature is there. When they do Hajj Yatra, it's very difficult, it's not easy. Why the Lord has kept such kind of situation in His holy places? Why it's not as flowery as we read in books? Wow, when spring came, it was so beautiful. And you feel like, oh, I want to go there, I want to go there. But now I go there in the spring, it is either hot or cold. It's too cold or too hot. We just catch up the best time. We go in Kartik or we go in February so that we can get the best weather. But there are 10 more months in Vrindavan Dham, which are different than those 2 months. And people live there all throughout the day, all throughout the times. Why the Lord keeps the extreme conditions in His holy places? Because He wants to filter all those undeserving people to be there. Because all the people who are addicted to city comforts, they will run away from there. They will not be able to stay there for long. Only those who are determined, those who love the Lord, those who are ready for all kinds of austerities, and tests and difficulties, just to be there and to serve the Lord. Only they can be there, who are ready to bear all these extremes. They receive the blessing of the Lord. When they bear all these things, they pass the test and then the real blessings. They will become ultimately oblivious to all these situations when they bear all these things. Lord will make them oblivious or transcendental, as we say, to the situations around. And they really release the nectar, what we call is the nectar. One time, you know, whenever you go to holy places, you know, there is a system that they will pick up 4-5 stones and just gather it together, stack together in the symbolical house form. You know, they like put the bricks in such a way and in symbol they will make a house. And what are they praying when they are doing that? They are saying, let me get residence over here. In this lifetime, or if not in this lifetime, next time let me take birth over here. So my resident will be this place. So one time one lady, you know, some Agra lady or Delhi lady, maybe little opulent looking lady, were putting the stones and stacking them together and praying. So one old Dvijvasi lady was coming. So she said to that opulent lady, itna aasan hai kya? Just by putting some stones here and there, you'll get residence in Vrindavan. You'll have to give up all your comforts of city. Now, when you are putting up these stones, at that time you'll have to prepare your mind in this lifetime to give up all those comfort zones of your life. Otherwise, it's only a poetry to put a stone and write nice words there. It's a matter of heart. And the Brijvasis are already doing that. And we are striving and attempting and practicing to do that. The Brijvasis, right from birth, they are doing. And every single child who is born there, I know how much deep root cultivation is there for the love of the Lord. Deep rooted. Even if you meet them somewhere abroad sometimes, still they are bubbling with that love for the Lord. And that is their speciality. And such people we aspire to serve when we go there. That is what our acharyas have told us, that when you serve them and when you please them and when they smile at you with happiness, that means Radha and Krishna are smiling at you. You have to somehow please them by your service, really please them. And when they are pleased, what they do? They bless you unlimited, drown you in blessings. You will cry with so much unlimited blessings given to you at one time, because you are not used to it in Bombay by receiving so many blessings. Hardly we receive any blessings these days, because there are no grandparents around, there are no elderly people around, there are no pitamaha around, there is only mother and father also unavailable to you. So who will give blessing to you? Whom you will touch feet of? Or where we are trained to touch anybody's feet and receive blessings? So there, our volunteers, when the best scene that we have to see is discharge ceremony. When we are discharging people, they are just drowning people in their tears and in their blessings. And because of they are blessing so much, the volunteers that we are having who are doing the discharge ceremony, they also are crying like anything. So much blessings they give, so much blessings, genuine heartfelt blessings. Mujhe ek Brijvasi ne blessing malum hai kya diya? When I was distributing blankets, she said, aap raja ban jao, aur raj karo aap, raj karo. Bahut kushamat kari hai, badi bodhan ki. Raja karo, khub raja karo, raj karo. I've got a video of that. In the, let them see in the end, that lady is blessing like that. So much blessings they give, so much, you cannot believe. Because I didn't have a son, you know. So many Brijvasi ladies would always come and tell me, why don't you do this, come to this kunda and take bath, come to that Venu Koop and take bath, come to Radha Kunda and take bath, come to Triveni Koop in Uchakham and take bath, you know, you must have a son, why don't you must have a son. They were like, they would call me from Barsana regularly. Any good news? Any good news? They were so keen for me to have a son, you know. It's not that, it's the love that they had, so much love, you know. So many Brijvasi ladies and men from Vrindavan, they sent their deities, maha cloth, ornaments, and all mahaprasads for Rupanjali's marriage. So many of them came, of course, and so many could not come. They sent such precious mahaprasad. Finally, we packed in a big box, all folded nicely, a variety of mahaprasads, you know, simply out of love. I was angry with one lady, you didn't come, I arranged so much for you, still you didn't come. She said, I sent Radharani. I said, how you sent Radharani? I sent a chundri for your daughter's marriage. And one lady, she's only 83 year old, and she considers me as her elder brother. I hope you have time, 5 minutes more, huh? So, naturally she was so happy that बड़े भैया की बेटी की शादी हो रही है. इट्स सो हैप्पी. सो शी वॉज वंडरिंग. शी केम टू बरसाना वेन शी वॉज ओनली 16. शी वॉज नॉट बॉर्न इन बरसाना. शी वॉज बॉर्न समवेयर इन यूपी बरेली. एंड शी हैड कम विथ हर फादर एंड मदर एंड समहाउ एट 16 ईयर्स ऑफ एज इन अ टेंडर एज शी इज नॉट ट्रेंड फॉर एनीथिंग कुकिंग और एनीथिंग हाउस होल्ड मैटर. शी वॉज जस्ट अ गर्ल. एंड शी केम देयर शी वॉज सो मच अट्रैक्टेड टू द मर्सी ऑफ राधा रानी दैट शी जस्ट डिडंट गो बैक विद हर पेरेंट्स. Parents fought like anything. I'm not going to go back. And she stayed there. How I came to know this? Because I was wondering one day, she was like 77 year old, and she wanted me to come home and take breakfast with her. And she was getting rotis from neighbor. I said, Didi, you didn't learn making roti. How come? said, no, I came here before learning the roti only. So I never learned rotis. So I always get rotis from my neighbors. I'm a spoiled girl because I didn't learn anything. Joined Vrindavan Dham. Of course, she wrote many, many books about Radha Tattva and many beautiful pastimes of Radharani. Mero Pyaro Barsano. So many books she wrote. She's a very elevated, good lady. So she's now almost 60 years plus, 65 years plus, she's staying there in Barsana. So she was wondering, abhi bhaiya ke bete ko kya dena shaadi mein? So she thought for a long time, what to do? What will be a worthy gift for her? Then she thought, अरे भैया को कितना टेंशन होगा ना कि भाई बेटे की शादी करनी है, कितनी परेशानी होगी, कितनी मेहनत करनी होगी, पता नहीं कितना खर्चा होगा वगैरह. तो मैं भी लाला को ही भेजती हूँ मदद करने के लिए. तो शी टुक वन लड्डू गोपाल एंड शी ऑफर द लड्डू गोपाल 56 भोगाज, 56 भोग ऑफर किया उसने अपने घर पे. और जब शी स्पीक्स अ लॉर्ड, शी हैज राधा रानी ऑल्सो एट होम. And if you go to her house, you know, in the temple, very beautiful deity altar she has got. And she speaks to the deities regularly. Radharani se baat karti ho. She came to Bhaktivedanta Hospital and there also she had many revelations. And she told me that, do not think Radharani is not here. I have got proof. Radharani resides in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. She told me. She has got many stories. I'll tell you some other time what happened in Bhaktivedanta. Anyways, so she offered 56 bhogas to Laddu Gopal, and she told him that I'm sending you to my brother's daughter's wedding. Take care of everything, okay? And she brought some unoffered bhoga, packed in boxes, and put him to rest, and also packed him nicely. She brought some beautiful lotus dresses for him. That means if you wear the dress, you will feel that Laddu Gopal is sitting in lotus only. So beautiful lotus dressings she got. She packed those also and packed about 2 kilos of sweets and sent that whole box very ceremoniously with somebody. And it was delivered to me at my house and said, Shadi mein rakhna aur dahej mein de dena. I said, how? He said, ki jo bhi shadi mein difficulty hogi na, wo Gopal ji sambhal lenge aapke. And she told us that whenever you first wake him up, whenever, before wedding, after wedding, during wedding, whatever, first offer him these sweets. And whenever he will go to her sasural, send sweets along with her so that maybe that day, late night, you know, very tired, next morning, early morning, they may not have any food in the house and all. Whenever they will wake up Laddu Gopal early morning, they should offer him first sweets in sasural. All instructions, beautiful blankets, everything she had sent. And that Laddu Gopal ji was there on the altar in the marriage. And she was on speak on the phone to me and she said, Maine Lala ko bheja hai. सब व्यवस्था करने के लिए, वही सब संभाल लेंगे, कुछ नहीं होगा, चिंता मत करना. मैं तो बहुत बड़ी हो गई, मैं तो आ नहीं सकती. बट शी सेंट दिस लव नाउ व्हाट दे हैव इज अनबिलीवेबल. यू कैन नॉट इमेजिन. वी ऑल लैक ऑल दिस क्वालिटीज इन आवर लाइफ व्हाट दे हैव एंड वी हैव टू रियली सी एंड लिव विद देम टू अंडरस्टैंड देयर हार्ट. एंड फॉर दैट वी शुड गो टू ब्रजभूमि. Of course, we go for darshans and we hear stories and visit places and all. It's very nice. But the real essence of this Brajbhumi is in the hearts of these people who are residents of this place. And to even today, to find such people is very rare, even today in Brajbhumi, because many of them become corrupt and they have got spoiled and they are doing many wrong things there. But amongst all those, to get to know such genuine people and live with them and be with them and serve them is the real essence, the meaning of doing the yatra or visiting the place like that and peeping in their lives what they have gone through. And everybody of them who are genuine Brajvasis have gone tons of difficulties in life. You cannot imagine. Somebody gets up and falls, and what happens is eye gets cut because of fan. Somebody falls down on the fan and the fan falls down and the fan ka cover comes out and the fan is moving and it cuts the eye like that. You cannot imagine unbelievable difficulties they go through. But still, the faith and love that they have, they will never, you'll never find them cursing God or Radharani. Kaha Radharani, kya kar rahi hai, dekho, bachche kaha kat gaya, ye ho gaya, aisa ho gaya. They will never say that. One time in one camp, 101-year-old lady we operated. Operation successful, she could see very well. And next morning, she was supposed to be discharged. Next morning, before discharge, she died. You can imagine, I am camp in charge, you know. And that night we had some late meeting, something, and we slept at 2 o'clock in the morning. So by 7 also I was not up. I was in my room. And the first knock comes, Prabhuji, uthiye, patient ka death ho gaya hai. Now death body ko pahunchana hai ghar pe. So I said, I am in charge of the camp. I should go. Because whether you will get stones or danda or chappal, why should others do that? I should go. So I went. And I was praying to Krishna that, well, we operated her in a good faith, and she didn't die because of operation complications. She died because of old age. She had chest problem and everything. And can you imagine, I was expecting that today I'll be beaten up nicely by villagers, or nice galis will be given to me, and our camp will be defamed, and all kinds of preparation was in my mind. I said, whatever happens, now today I have to be ready for that. I went there with the dead body, the old husband, the older than her also. He said, how beta, 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 ye chai pilao inko, cot pithaya. मैंने कहा बाबूजी माफ़ कर देना, आपकी मैया को तो हम जीवित ले गए थे, मुर्दा लेके आए, प्लीज़ माफ़ करना, हमने ऑपरेशन अच्छा हो गया था उनका. बोला नहीं बेटा, जो राधा रानी करती है वो अच्छा ही करती है, वो कभी किसी का बुरा नहीं करती. आप क्यों बेशक परेशान होते हो, आपने तो इतना बढ़िया ऑपरेशन किया उनका, उनकी नज़र भी आई वापस, वो बहुत खुश भी थी रात को, मैं था वहाँ पर, आपने तो उनको इतना बढ़िया सेवा किया, कौन कर सकता है ऐसा सेवा. आप बिल्कुल बुरा मत बनना, कोई मन मैला मत करो, आप कोई दुखी मत हो जाओ, राजा रानी जो करती है अच्छा करती है, वो तो धाम में गुजरी हो तो धाम में जाएगी भगवान की, क्यों चिंता करना है आपको, हमें भी राजा रानी ले जाए जल्दी, हम भी धाम में चले जाएंगे. मोस्ट अनएक्सपेक्टेड रिस्पॉन्स. हाँ, जहाँ डंडे गिरने थे, लात और मुक्के मुक्के मिलने थे, वहाँ पर वो बोल रहे कि बेटा आपने तो बहुत बढ़िया काम किया, यही बिन को चाह पिलाओ. दिस इज ब्रिजवासी. So this is what we have seen all this way, all these times. Such faith in perfection of the Lord. When you suffer, when others suffer, it's easy to philosophize. You know, it's when you suffer, I can come and tell you nice philosophy, you know, how to be neutral, how to be detached, how to see the will of the Lord and everything. When you suffer yourself, to think the same thing for yourself is something great. That is devotion. When you suffer and you say, whatever Lord does is perfect. That is devotion. And I could see in their life, they are not educated or very big people or rich people or learned or nothing is there. But they have that faith and love for the Lord. They have understanding that whatever happens in our life is by the will of the Lord. And that is real wealth. Not that we have in banks of crores of rupees. Not that the degrees that we have. Not the beauty that we try to preserve so many years after life also. This is real wealth. That you are acceptable for everything that the Lord sends you. And that is the thing which makes you rich in life, makes you real opulent, makes you real attractive, and makes you receive tons of mercy of the Lord when you are in this kind of mood. And that is what is happening there in Vrindavan Dham. And today, of course, you have to search for such people, but nonetheless, they are there in abundance there also at the same time. So I am very happy that our children are going there, and I am only praying one thing. When they have gone and they are going to go there now, that they should be touched somewhere with this principle at the level of their heart. Some seed of understanding of what a Brajvasi is and what is love for Lord should be implanted in their heart. That is my prayer to the Lord, that their trip should be touched by some experience that will nourish them for whole life, even though they live in Bombay and maybe to whatever they want. But that visit should culminate in implantation of that visit, of that seed of devotion and appreciation for Brajvasis. And for the similar reason, I want you to also go there, to receive you there and to take you around to meet such people also. That is the only desire I have got. That's why I keep longing that when you are coming, when I can take you there. The only reason is that those precious things of life, which you don't even know, we will know first. And we will see, and maybe we may also receive those indescribable things, unbelievable things in life are still available in the abode of Radha and Krishna, in abundance, in an unlimited ocean-like manner. And our life is actually meant for understanding that and accepting that, not just continuing our work and we are all time suffering, struggling in life. Our life is meant to relish that nectar which Sri Krishna and Radharani has made it available for all of us. So that our life becomes sublime, worthy of calling as life, worthy of calling as human life, and worthy of becoming offerable at the lotus feet of the Lord at the end of the life. That is what our life is meant for. Otherwise, everything is temporary. Whatever money you earn, whatever degrees you earn, whatever fame you earn, whatever beauty you are trying to preserve, everything is just going to go away one day. Simply going to get lost. You can't even control it. You just go in front of your eyes. It will be lost. But these things will never be lost. They will always be with you. Time will not be able to stop it to remove from your heart. Time has no power to remove such things from you. Time will take everything away from you. But such things will be not taken by time away. Time is unable to do anything with this wealth. This is your property. It will go with you. Rest everything you will drop here and go. That will go with you. And that will not go with you. It will take you to Sri Krishna. Okay. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Let us make our life rich by such properties and such opulences. Thank you very much.